making a podcast around the world right now for you, YahvehYahweh.name. I'm Stephen Yah, and we have a small number here gathered with us, plus thousands out there who are listening in the audience. Well, hopefully, if you would, drop me a line and let me know that you're listening. The title today continues with this. It came from the song Old Man's Rubble, but I called it Sin Not, Old Man, and then I could drop that adjective there, old, and sin not, man. So Sin Not, it's called, and then we'll get into another, the wicked, tools and weapons and the wicked, which I'm not going to go into right now. 1 John chapter 2, my little children. Now we're going to move along quickly here from scripture to scripture, so you may not be able to keep up with us, but 1 John and then 1 Peter chapter 4. So this is 1 John, the second chapter of 1 John, and verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. Period. Then in 1 Peter, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly, or in the King James, ungodly, and the sinner appear? Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 2 Peter 1:9, but he that lacks these things is blind and can't see far off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's, the preposition, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Notice that, and that's found in the New Testament in 2 Peter. Then, in chapter 2, verse 9, coincidentally, so we're moving up a chapter, verse 9, Yahweh knows how to deliver thee, Yahweh-like person, out of, it says godly there, we always have to change these to its more correct rendition. So he knows how to deliver the goodly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 2:9 there. Then Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Yahweh will not hear me. But verily Yahweh has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be Yahweh, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Hebrews 10, cast not away therefore confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Of how much sore punishment do you suppose shall he be thought of worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh, speaking of the Messiah. Those who have trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh by their life, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy or impure thing, and has done despite unto the spirit of grace or unmerited favor. For he that, verse 36 now, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. You might receive the promise, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. This is talking about the second coming. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And then that was the 10th chapter of Hebrews. In chapter 12, but walk diligently and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which, or being separated, without which no man shall see Yahweh. Without peace and being separated, or in Hebrew, Kodesh. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the unmerited favor, the grace of Yahweh, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And that goes back to that song, Old Man's Rubble. Are you living in man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? Are you listening to all the secular media and voices out there, if you are, then you're headed for trouble, and if you listen too long, you'll eventually die. One of the other stanzas of that verse, if I can remember, is, but if you're living, no, I can't remember. If you're living with Messiah, in other words, you don't have to worry if you obey his voice and keep reading his word, but don't go back, don't fall back. We don't want a root of bitterness springing up, because that's quite possible these days. And even the churches, the Christian radio at least, has been trying to tell us to roll up our sleeve and get jabbed by this experimental medicine. And who knows what could be occurring from that. But Yahweh is able to heal all of our diseases if we walk in his steps, in the scripture. Colossians, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead in your life, that's spiritually dead, and your life is hid with Messiah in Yahweh. When the Messiah, or Yahusha, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him. And then the word glory should be changed to its correct rendition, such as the Hebrew kavod, but you probably not familiar with that word, but in splendor. So you'll appear with him in splendor. Mortify your members, therefore. Mortify, or put to death your members which are upon the earth, such as fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Now, fornication includes all sexual sins, all things that are contrary to the word of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 22, we might pick that up here in a moment if I don't forget. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Yes, we're not supposed to celebrate the pagan holidays and give gifts to ourselves or exchange them for a greater gift with someone else, for that is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of Yahweh comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked in that for some time when you lived in them. But now put off all these. And then there's a list here of anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So that would include filthy jokes. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So there's our theme there about the old man again. Put off that old man with his deeds. Not that every single old man is evil or intrinsically, if he's saved. No. We have the new man now within us, right? So it says in the next verse, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So, there's a plague in the land. Yes, there's a terrible thing. In fact, we're in our local area here in Oregon, we're going to have a dust storm, I understand. Now, that's a bit of a pun there, but the dust storm will be that people have been sitting around with the scriptures, but they're not reading them. They're just off the wall. They go to church and read the overhead projector, but they don't actually take the scriptures home and read it. So when the plague comes, we'll be taking the scriptures down off of the shelf, and as if it were simultaneously, we'll blow the dust off of the scriptures. Well, that's going to create a big dust storm here like they had in the Midwest. No, that's just an anecdote, if you will, but the great dust storm of the Oregon area is coming up, hopefully, when we take down our scriptures off the shelf, blow the dust off, and don't ever allow it to accumulate again, because the plague is upon us. It may be a man's plague, but and not necessarily from Yahweh. But I want to read this to you from 1 Kings 8, and this is serious now. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of the cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward his house. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, Almighty One, for thou, even thou, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. And that went along with, that was 1 Kings 8, but it went along with an excerpt from Jeremiah 23:17. Well, here's what the people might say. They say still unto them that despise me, that is despising the Almighty Yahweh, the Father in heaven, they still say unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon us or come upon you, for who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh, and who has perceived and heard his word, who has marked his word and heard it? So let the dust storm be over, and the speckles of dust come down and kind of scatter out amongst our friends and neighbors, and that they would pick up the Spirit too, to pick up the Word and read it. For in the book of Psalms it says, forever, O Yahweh, thy Word is settled in heaven. You see, it doesn't change because the Father and the Son, Yahusha, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, behold, I change not. And in the Old Testament, it also says, whoever takes away from the word of Yahweh, all the plagues will be upon them. And then it says that again in the book of the Revelation. And that there is one law to the stranger and the unborn. That's what I actually meant to say. There's one law to both the stranger and he who dwells in the land, a natural Hebrew. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Now, we don't want a bunch of flap or even necessarily any commentaries from rabbi or otherwise without first hearing the word of Yahweh, and it must agree with his word. Psalm 119 again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, thank you for that. Thy word, not a voice inside us, but a lamp unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. And this is the same in Psalm 27, where it says in the King James, the Lord is my light and my salvation, where it should be, Yahweh is my light. But at the Memorial Cemetery, where I was standing a couple of hours ago, I saw many grave markers that had scripture verses on them, and some of them were very, very impressive. I wondered, now, what kind of a person was this? Well, he wasn't 100%, you know, he wasn't perfect, and I'm not perfect. None of us are. But I was so impressed and excited to read these verses. And on one of the cement chairs was printed this, Psalm 27, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No, we're not to be afraid of the wiles of man. We're to wait on Yahweh and renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. And he's not going to tarry when he comes, and he puts in force his ways, Yahweh's ways, that is, the Almighty's ways. All this prophecy is going to all come true, come to a head, and the 10 turkeys of man are going to come crashing down to the earth and smash up. I just use that metaphor of 10 turkeys, but the ways of man, the towers of men are going to be toppling over if they're not rooted and grounded and settled in Yahweh. Now Leviticus 26. This is in the first five books of Scripture. You have Genesis, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's called the Torah, the first five books. That's the fundamental foundational teaching. So Leviticus, probably improperly named there, but it should say Vayikra. And looking up the true meaning of some of these books and their proper names, Vayikra 26:41. That I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, the Almighty is speaking. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, of course, Messiah has paid for that punishment of our iniquity if we've repented and called on his name, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and also my covenant with Isaac and the covenant with Abraham I will remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left to them and enjoy her Sabbaths. See, right now, they are not enjoying the Sabbaths. And look at some of the crazy places that we've ruined, destroyed Yahweh's creations out there. Put up too many marijuana clinics. Put up a whole bunch of junk, anyway. By the way, marijuana is a drug, and it is normally taken literally from the scripture. We're not to partake of any drugs, whether they're considered legal or not. And that you look up the word necromancer in scripture. And we'll have to do a study on that someday. But the land will enjoy her Sabbaths, and she lies desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity. Well, there will be some punishment, actually. Because they despise my judgments found in Exodus 21, or Shemot 21, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Statutes are found in the rest of the scripture there. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them completely away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am Yahweh, their Elohim. And he said in Ezekiel, Yahweh said, Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. Yeah, and that's why I don't go back and do the practices of the former religions or creeds that I was affiliated with, the RCC and all of her illegitimate daughters, otherwise known as the Protestant Church, that are no longer protesting Rome, but protesting the law. So here we are with no law. We are living in an age of lawlessness that people wanted not to have a law. And now all we can do is cry about it, because there's much complaining and crying going on in the streets against the tyranny is due, persecution is due, right? 2 Thessalonians says, In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not Yahweh, and we must really know him, and that obey not the gospel of our master Yahushua Messiah. Yes, the gospel is more than this, but it's mainly the death, burial, and the resurrection of Messiah, and, of course, including the work of repentance that we must do. We'll finish that thought up in Revelation chapter 3. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you, or spew you out of my mouth. That's all in Revelation chapter 3, and that was the verse 16, and the one about the lukewarmness that we had. But we're supposed to be putting on the new man, and let Yahweh, by the Spirit, strip away the oldness of the flesh, that old man's rubble. And I think I want to quote from that. I want to quote from that song written by Brown Bannister, if I can get it here. So we're going to take a 5-minute break, adjust the microphones and so on, and adjust our frame that we can get up and stretch and come back to a little bit more here. Like a camp meeting on this Sabbath day, each and every Sabbath, every week, on this Saturday or seventh day of the week, is Yahweh's camp meeting day. Praise Yahweh. Tools or weapons, that's coming up after that poem, I mean.
The verses continue. Are you walking with unnecessary burdens? Are you trying to take them up upon yourself? If you are, then you're living in bondage, and you know that's bad for your spiritual health. Are you trying to live by your emotions? Are you putting your faith in what you feel and see? Then you're living just to satisfy your passions? And you better be careful, because you're being deceived. And this is all based on Scripture. So skipping ahead then, near the end of the song, it says, if you're living in a new creation, if you're listening to the Father of Light, then you're living in a mighty fortress, and you're going to be clothed in power and might. So that was the song, Old Man's Rubble, written by Brown Bannister and sung by Luke Garrett. Oh, he's got a powerful voice. Enjoyed his concert very much. That's been too long ago now. And we'll be picking up in the Scriptures in Leviticus 20. And also Leviticus 19. But first, we're proclaiming the Scriptures. For Messiah is the Word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we're speaking against improper practices such as idolatry. By that, we are showing love by speaking against and doing the opposite of what some of our worldly friends might lead us into. The word of Yahweh is not a weapon against our neighbor, but his is a light shining to the world, and so we are to share this with one another. And looking at the centering in, focusing on the word wicked from the concordance, we could look up a lot of different words, but right now let's just concentrate on this here. From Proverbs 15, Yahweh is far from the wicked. Now, the opposite of that is not ashamed, but he's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Yahweh, YHVH, works everything out for his own purpose, even the wicked for a day of disaster, acquitting the wicked and condemning the righteous. Acquitting the wicked and condemning the righteous, both are an abomination to Yahweh. That's from the Tree of Life version. Acquitting the wicked, condemning the righteous, are an abomination. Proverbs 17, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination to Yahweh. That's from the King James Version. Proverbs 18, verse 5, showing partiality to the wicked isn't good, nor is depriving the innocent of justice. That quote from the Tree of Life, showing partiality to the wicked is not good, in Proverbs 18, 5. Proverbs 15, Yahweh is far from the wicked, but hears the prayer of the righteous. Yahweh works everything out for his own purpose, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Acquitting the wicked and condemning the righteous, both are an abomination to Yahweh. I think that this computer has repeated the same verses here. That's good. We've been reminded then. He that justifies the wicked, he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination. Okay, the sacrifice of the wicked, this is Proverbs 15, verse 8, of the wicked is an abomination to Yahweh. So if we are sacrificing with the right motive and everything, but we're still doing wicked deeds, that's an abomination to Yahweh. The prayer of the upright pleases him. Those who forsake the Torah praise the wicked, but those who keep the Torah stir them up. Proverbs 28:4. It'd be so easy to assign ourselves to the category of we are the righteous and to look down on others or to the rest of the world. As we follow Scripture and not our hearts, we're able to discern and make righteous judgment of ourselves
and be separate from the wickedness. Minister to the lost and wicked in due season. Don't justify the wicked. Do not condone some of the wickedness that might be taught in the churches. We ought to love them, not approve their foolishness. But what's the point? Otherwise, what's the point in attending services with teachings that come out of Babylon, such as the Roman pagan holidays, the Roman Easter, the Roman Sunday morning breakfast, and Halloween, Roman New Year's? They're all out of Babylon. Try to see the difference between false doctrine, false teaching, and other poor leadership in the body of people. So the body of people may not be as guilty as those who concocted the false doctrines, which they have to sit there and listen. The hierarchy assumes the authority over the members. The members may or may not be in that gang, that corrupt gang, but the individual neighbors and friends and relatives that we have might have differing beliefs and may or may not take such action. Even if they have good convictions, they may not take action, but those actions or works further are speak louder than words. We rather ought to be doers of the word, James 1:21. And Paul says, my dearly loved ones, flee from idolatry, a commandment. There is an obligatory statement in 1 Corinthians 10:14, flee idolatry. Psalm 10:4, the wicked one with his nose in the air never seeks him. All his thoughts are, there is no creator. Such a thing we always hear near a town in Eugene, Oregon. 3 John chapter 1, verse 9. So that's 3 John 1:9. Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not welcome us. So if I do come, John said, I will call attention to what he is doing, slandering us with wicked words. So here he is pointing fingers at this Diotrephes. He slanders us with wicked words. Not even content with that, he refuses to welcome the brethren and even forbids those who want to do so, throwing them out of the community. Yes, a little bit of discrimination. That unrighteous judgment goes on sometimes in small towns or even in other circles. Then here over in Malachi, as we turn back to the last book of the old, so-called Old Testament, it's not really that much older than the New. That's been 2,000 years ago since the New Testament. Malachi 3:18, then you will return and distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves the Supreme One and incidentally obeys his word, and one who does not serve him. Or another scripture comes from Zephaniah, or they pronounce it Stephaniah, I think. But Zephaniah 3:11, on that day you will not be ashamed because of all your deeds by which you rebelled against me, for then I will remove from your midst the proud, the arrogant ones, and you'll never again be haughty on my pure mountain. In Romans, in the New Testament, 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of the supreme creator of all, for salvation to everyone who trusts. For salvation, the gospel of salvation to everyone who trusts, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Such a light thing to diminish salvation. They say, well, that's not important. Tithing is not important. Baptism is not. Oh, they are so wrong. There's so many. And in fact, let me take that quick rabbit trail there. Before we do that powerful teaching in Leviticus 20 and 19, but Romans chapter 6 in the Newer Testament. And there you have Paul speaking again by the power of the Spirit. And No, that's chapter 12. Okay, I don't... Okay, we don't want to get too distracted here. And I'm only going to give one or two scriptures about baptism right now to you. But Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yahweh forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Don't you know that so many of us were baptized into Messiah, were baptized into his death? We're baptized into his death, so it's very important. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. And in Peter, the scripture says that therefore baptism now doth save. That's found in 1 Peter. The apostle Peter said in chapter 3, 1 Peter, but sometime we're disobedient, let's see, about those who died in the worldwide flood. But Messiah has also once suffered for sins, not every Sunday morning, but once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Also he went and preached, well, let's skip that idea, we'll carry that later, but sometime we're disobedient. When once the long-suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of Noah, the ark was prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure of the great flood and the salvation of the ark, the like figure, even baptism, doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward Yahweh by the resurrection of Yahusha Mashiach, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of the Father. So he's not in a third compartment. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of Yahweh, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. 1 Peter chapter 3. And Paul said in Corinthians, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to warn you as my dearly loved children. So the scripture is to warn us at times. Some people say that the only purpose of the law is to condemn us, or some preachers even say that the purpose of the Torah or the law is to control others. Is that why Yahweh gave us the law? No, it's his righteous standard. So it's not a weapon against our human opponents, but a teaching tool. As Paul said in 2 Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of Yahweh or of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the good news according to the power of the Supreme One, the Creator of all. And now back to 1 John chapter 2. Now children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we will have confidence and not be ashamed in his presence at his coming. So we need to abide and continue in him. Not just be good starters, but continue all the way to the finish. He said in Revelation chapter 3, I will not spew you out of my mouth. I will not blot you out. I will not blot out your name if you obey my commandments, in other words. Hebrews 11, but as it is, they yearn or look or desire for a better land, that is, a heavenly land. Therefore, Yahweh, the Creator of all, is not ashamed to be called their Supreme One, the Creator of all, for he has prepared a city for them. And that's a good reading of from Hebrews, a good reading of Shalom and peace. And then this scripture here in Leviticus 19, just briefly skimming over some of the sins that are common in the land, not only today, but thousands of years ago, and reading in Leviticus 19. And it says here, various laws and ordinances, or I crossed out the word various and put in your favorite least of ordinances, because they're regarding sexual sins. So 19 verse 20 says, and whosoever lies carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid,
or betrothed to a husband, so she's just engaged, or not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. She shall be scourged. He shall not be put to death because she was not free. Apparently she cried up. She cried out at the time that the man was trying to molest her. See the previous verse. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Yahweh, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, a ram for a trespass offering. The priest shall make an atonement for him with a ram of the trespass offering before Yahweh for his sin which he has done, and the sin which he has done shall be forgiven him. And then later in that same 19th chapter, even though prostitution, I've heard some say, well, that was the first profession, the first occupation, but no, that's a big lie. First profession was farming, that Adam was a farmer, Adam and Eve. And so verse 29, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbath, I am Yahweh. Then in chapter 20, and these are the statutes and judgments of Yahweh, chapter 20, verse 10, the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Boy, that would take 60% or more out of the world and perhaps out of the congregations.
I'll say.
And it's not just because we live in a land with such influence as the liberal media that is trying to, for 50 years or longer, the television and radio and so forth, trying to influence us to a compromise, and even adults trying to encourage young people to go out and have fornication. And so it's not only that, but it's also maybe our own nature that we just have to overcome it, and that for some it's not so strong. It's not such a strong thing, but I always tell these young people that go around trying to do a dirty joke and tell me something, I say, well, why don't you just go get married? That might solve it. Then again, it might create other problems for them. They may not be ready or mature enough. Verse 11 of 20 Leviticus, and the man that lieth with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And there are other good laws to read like this in the scriptures, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and even Numbers, that speak of sexual impurity or fornication, of viewing pornography, or rather of not viewing it. It says, verse 13, if a man lie with a mankind, this is the sin of sodomy, if a man lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. In times past, a few years ago, we used the O word, abomination. They'll surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. Now, this is according to the Old Testament penalties, that they were under that penalty of the law if they violated these statutes. And in today's world, in the New Testament, if we trust in the true Messiah, who died on the tree at Calvary 3 days and three nights, was in the tomb and rose from the grave, then we trust in his sacrifice. And he is our sacrifice for us, and praise him. And it talks about bestiality next, and then incest later on in verse 17, and a woman during her time of the month in verse 18, and just about that whole chapter there until you get down to verse 25, and then it talks about the clean and unclean, which is also repeated in the book of the Revelation, and eschatologically speaking, in Isaiah 65 and 66, even in the future, past, present, and future, the unclean are still unclean. For who can make a clean thing out of an unclean abomination?
you shall put difference between clean and unclean, and between fowls and clean and animals, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean, as you shall be holy unto me, or pure unto me, for I, Yahweh, am pure, and have severed you from others, that you should be mine. Sever you from people, it says. A man also, a woman that has a familiar spirit, or a wizard, shall surely be put to death under the Old Testament penalty. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Also, drug use is also addressed in this, in the book of Leviticus, and I can't remember what that means, Viagra. I kind of know what Leviticus means, and I won't say it here on the radio, but, whoops, okay, now, maybe I better save that bookmark. Okay, and I'm going to try to find in Leviticus chapter 1, where I've got that marked. There's no such thing as the Levitical law, per se. This is a part of the law of Yahweh. It says in the Luke chapter 1, it calls it the law of God in the King James, the law of Moses. Sacrifices go back to Abel and Cain. Viagra means, or Leviticus, actually Viagra means, and he called. Well, that's an easy one to remember. Yahweh called us. He called us to come out. We're looking forward to that last great day. We're looking forward even to the first fruits being risen from the grave. Pentecost symbolizes that. And in a lesser way, possibly wave sheaf. And we tremble at Yahweh's word. And we're trembling with excitement, actually. Because he's coming quickly. And first of all, of course, we are facing the 7-year tribulation period, which could happen soon. It many things, the unification of the one world governments and religion and the control that they're exercising lately over the populace and shutting down the whole world. Just one man could shut the whole world down. That doctor, witch doctor guy. Rejoice with Jerusalem. This is Isaiah 66 now, as we wind up at about 45 minutes into the podcast. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad, all you that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her. Yes, think about all the persecution and the prejudice and bias against Jerusalem. Well, they're not all perfect people by any means. They're not all evil. There's good and bad, but Yahweh loves them all, doesn't he? For right now, all we know is that he loves the people that he called, and that he has blessed these 12 tribes, and we're going to support one another in that effort, and especially his tribe of Judah. We're going to support the people that are called by his name, even though sometimes they won't recognize and assent to his name. They'll use a substitute name like Adonai or Hashem, which means the name of, the name of, the name of, the name of what or who. But Hashem doesn't seem to apply to the Almighty Father. That he says, proclaim my name, even to the heathen, proclaim my name. That's found in Tehillim, that's the book of Psalms. Behold, Yahweh will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire, by fire and for by his sword. Will Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. And when he died, Yahusha died on the cross at Calvary, it didn't abolish this word. Then it goes on about the clean and unclean there for a moment in Isaiah 66. And then it winds up with this beautiful, well, the very last verse is not, here, let me read that. They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men they have transgressed against me, and for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh.
so in a negative sense there, but looking forward to the new heavens in Isaiah 66:22, the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh. So shall your seed and your name remain. It'll come to pass that from one new moon to another and one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. Hallel. Well, we might be playing Luke Garrett next, a little bit of that, or perhaps the Jews for Jesus, or Jews for Yeshua group about Israel here on YahwehYahweh.name. We want to say, Maranatha, may Yahweh come quickly, and that we'll all flesh will come to worship on the new moons and Sabbath before Yahweh and praise his name. When you go out into the world, go down the freeway of Hollywood and Vine or whatever, please forget all that stuff around there that you see. Don't think on circumstances and on the conditions about you so much as, even though we recognize that, but think on the heavenly things that are to come. Yes, we're excited. Yahweh, come quickly, send thy son, and redeem thy loved ones. And that first great 1,000 years, the 144,000 will be redeemed from the grave, including King David. In Acts chapter 2, we see that he's still there in the grave, but he will be resurrected. The king of all kings, Yahusha, HaMashiach, some say Yeshua, because that's in the scroll, in the Hebrew scroll, but Yeshua or Yahusha is coming quickly to take away his special ones. When I make up my jewels, it says there. Oh, and also there is a verse in Amos that I forgot to read that, so maybe we better do that before I finish up. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. And they may possess the remnant of Edom, and so on. That's Amos 9. But, let's see. Okay, we got to find this last part here. Maybe I can't find it. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. That was chapter 6. Even cremation is addressed in 6 verse 10. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say, that is by the side of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. And he shall say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of Yahweh. So they came up with that adage to not mention his name out of verses like that. Well, we could go through someday and just do this entire beautiful, inspired book of Amos. But, because I don't know if I can actually find the one that was on my heart the other day. Or what it even had to do with. So, take away from me the noise of thy songs, the vile. Woe unto you that desire the second coming. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. To what end is it for you? The day of Yahweh is darkness and not light. Amos 5:18. Yeah, so don't be at ease in Zion, and trust in Yahweh. Trust in his word. Praise Yahweh. Yeah, oh well. Nine chapters, but I can't find that one that was on my heart. But bless you, and study that. If you haven't picked up the book of Amos lately in the scriptures, that's another one to put on the list there. Praise Yahweh. Talk to you again. This is Stephen Yah at YahwehYahweh.name.